You are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio.
Okay, welcome to Baseball Zealot Radio. My name is Tom Elsop, and I'm coming to you from Urbana, Illinois. We've just gone over into the officially summer now, and looking at the schedule, I've noticed that college summer leagues are well onto the underway, and I thought we'd bring on Andrew Hartwell. He has a website. It's called Summerball. And basically, it's pretty much a one-of-a-kind website. It's pretty much the only website I know of that exclusively covers college summer leagues. So I want to welcome Andrew Hartwell. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I have been a follower and reader of the Baseball Zealot for a while now, so it's an honor to be talking to you.
Oh, it's an honor to have you on here. Like I say, it's hard to find information on college baseball in general on the web, but to have a website that follows college summer leagues, that's when we want to find information on college summer leagues, you're pretty much the go-to guy, right?
I believe so. I am by no means the only site out there. There's a few other sites that are more specific for individual leagues.
Sure, sure.
But as a whole, I believe I'm one of the only, if not the only, sites that just generalizing summer league baseball out there.
Now, before we go any further, maybe you could give a broad definition of what are college summer leagues, what is their purpose, what are they all about?
Sure, no problem. I guess a broad definition of summer league is kind of self-explanatory. It's baseball for college eligible players, that's played in the summer. The leagues in and of themselves try to run it as close to, I guess, a pro team, minor league team, as possible, meaning that it's they all use wood bats now. That's the number one thing, in my opinion, that separates the summer league from any other kind of, college baseball programs out there. They all use wood bats. Most of the leagues that I'm aware of do not have teams just right next door, so it involves a lot of bus rides.
Sure.
I know, so the players, but can experience being on the road, especially for some of the leagues that you have very long bus rides. You often will play a weekend series or, two home and home type of deal. It's a big factor issue with for the players learning how to travel and whatnot. Of course they don't get paid, so the players will generally work during the morning, depending on just their schedule and whatnot, and they have a host family. So for most of the players that don't live in the aren't from the area where they're playing at, they'll stay with the host family. But in general, It's a way for players to learn how to hit with a wood bat, and, play with overall better competition.
I actually never thought about that. So they actually do hit with the wood bat.
Yes. I believe, I'm sure we can talk about this later. I consider myself still a relatively new fan to summer leagues, and I believe that there were a couple leagues in the late 80s, early 90s, even into mid 90s, that still use aluminum bats.
Right.
But now it's generally it's, as far as I know, every major league uses a wooden bat.
Uh-huh. Huh. I never even thought about that. So what type of college player actually goes to these college summer leagues? Because I know not every player that college player that I know of goes. Are these players that may have an eye for maybe the going on to bigger and better things, that want to hone their skills, that kind of thing?
Yes. I would say the number one the player that's looking at college summer league number one is, and a lot depends on what league he's going to play in, is to be noticed by scouts, other other teams, because it's a sad state of affairs in college baseball, but the turnover rate or the releasing of of their scholarships or whatever you want to call it. A lot of players are, in essence, released. and especially with their scholarships. So, you know, you have a lot of changeovers of you know, players from teams to teams. Now, it will change with the new NCAA rules regarding sitting out a year and whatnot. But so the main, in my personal opinion, the players who want to go pro, this is their main way to get noticed.
Sure.
But also, because there's so many leagues out there now, and I never played college baseball and didn't play, didn't play any summer league ball, but, you know, talking to the players here in the Texas Collegiate League, a lot of players, are from the North Texas area, and so it's like, you know, you go home, what are you gonna do? You might as well,
right.
You might as well play baseball.
Sure.
And, who knows?
Right.
You know, who knows? But, to the hopes of going pro, but also, this is one of the reasons behind my blog is, I think for the small school, either, NCAA Division I small school all the way down to JUCOs and NAI, this is especially for the small school player. To me, this is more than just having a great year for their regular team. This is the way to get noticed. I believe out of the Northwoods League, I want to say his name is Jordan Zimmerman, was out of a Division III school, I think Wisconsin.
Right.
Whitewater, he was drafted top 10, top 20 this year. In 20 years ago, it would almost be unheard of for a Division III or even Division II player.
Sure.
To be drafted that high, but, summer league ball for me, my opinion is, it's excellent way for the small school player to get noticed and play against top-notch competition.
Right. Now these college players, when they're during the college season, do they get to choose to play in the summer leagues, or do they have to be selected, or do the coaches say, okay, you can go to this league or this league, or how does the selection process work?
Well, I believe, for a player that are draft eligible and don't really, unless they just, miracle get drafted in a round where they would want to go pro, most players are going to go play summer ball. So they, the top notch leagues will say they have their own scouts, and they'll have invitation only camps,
okay,
or they'll invite you. If you're that good, they'll ask you to join them. A lot of leagues will have drafts, like you and
okay.
I would for, fantasy, baseball or whatnot. They'll just, you'll have a pool of eligible players.
Okay.
But I know talking through a couple of, acquaintances I made, University of Texas and Texas A&M, Augie Garrido and, Johnson left A&M. He's not with San Diego State. But, the coaches don't mandate that you play baseball in the summer ball, but it's one of those unwritten rules, so to speak, that
exactly.
You're going to play somewhere.
Right.
It doesn't have to be the Cape Cod League or, Texas Collegiate League, but they want you to play somewhere. And, of course, how college baseball coaches are. They have feelers and contacts nationwide.
Sure. Yeah.
And so certain leagues are known more, certain summer leagues are known more as a pitcher's league or hitter's league or, obviously the Cape Cod League is the premier league, so if you're that great of a prospect, you're going to go there. But a lot of times, if you look at the websites and you talk to some of the smaller leagues, they're always looking for players. Not now the season started.
Right.
But, they're, to fill a roster. And then, of course, one of the neat things that leagues do, is, and every league may have a different name for it, but I know the Texas Collegiate League is called the 10-day contract. It's especially used for players that are playing, they're still during the, tournament and College World Series. But it's a good way to, kind of, if for nothing else, at least for 10 days to get your name out there.
Sure.
And play. But, to answer your question, I guess I took a long way around it, but it's, some players, more or less apply. Some other college coaches, some leagues require your college coach to recommend you. But in a lot of leagues have, invitation only camps, and some, go ahead and do the draft.
Right.
Draft type of deal.
Yeah, I know that in the case of the University of Illinois, they tend to go to the same leagues. I know the Northwest League tends to be a popular place where the University of Illinois players go, and same for the Coastal Plain League. They tend to, our players tend to gravitate toward those leagues, and not to say that, they don't go to other leagues too, but it just, we're familiar with those leagues and comfortable, and I'm not sure exactly how that works, but they just tend to go to those leagues, so.
a lot of the players, if they're from a certain area, you know, I'm sure, you know, if you have some players on, you know, Illinois that are, you know, from, you know, if you ever get a player from Texas, he may say, you know, I want to, you know,
right,
boom for the summer. Yeah. So, a lot of players that do that, and, but I did notice though that there were, oh, several players from the line that are playing down in the Coastal
right.
Plain League as well.
Yeah, so that I noticed that was definitely true. What kind of schedule do these leagues have? Is it similar to like a minor league schedule, daily or semi-daily, or is it similar to like a college schedule?
It's on a, they try to, one of the, like, I guess mission statements or missions of a lot of the leagues is to simulate what a minor league, you know, a week in a minor league, so to speak, team. So they try to play as often as possible. The total number of games varies. Most play in, you know, anywhere from 35 to 50 games. You know, that's not factoring in, you know, playoffs and whatnot.
Sure,
and in exhibition games. But, and I know that we're having some issues now in the Texas Collegiate League because we've had almost, you know, seems like 20 straight days of rain. So we've had rainouts left and right, and so of course that schedule will have to be made up somehow. But they try to play as often as possible. I know there are several teams and leagues that are either sponsored or work directly with like Fellowship of Christian Athletes or other organizations like that. So they don't play on Sundays, but
sure.
But overall they try to play as you know as often as possible.
Okay. We're talking with Andrew Hartwell. He has a website called Summer Ball, which is dedicated to the keeping up with college summer leagues and around the country. Let's talk about Summer Ball. First of all, why don't you give out the address so we'll, if anyone is interested, they can check out the website.
Sure. It's all one word. It's going to be collegesummerball.blogspot.com. collegesport.com. And I appreciate any of your listeners, heading on over. And
it's a great site. I go to, I always want, I'm interested in seeing what's going on. And I always, of course, I love seeing any, line I actually going on there because I know we have 14 of our guys, spread out among the Midwest and East, but it is a great site. You've got a lot of, you keep it up, you know, daily and a lot of stuff going on. Give us a little brief history of why you're interested in summer, college summer, leagues and how long ago did you get the site up and running and basically what your interest is in college summer leagues.
Oh, sure. Honestly, you know, it seems like, you know, days have been going, so quickly here, that I don't actually remember when I started. This is my first year, you know, on the blog. I believe I started, you know, January or February, give or take. But really I had no, in terms of starting it, I really had no idea what I was getting into. I guess you can trace it back to, about 2004 when the Texas Collegiate League, started up. I live in Denton, Texas, and we didn't have a team near living, or we didn't have a team playing in our town, just down the road. Well, I would go to a few games, and I honestly didn't know, except for the Cape Cod League, I knew next to nothing about summer leagues. But it was, to me, it was interesting watching players from Texas and Texas A&M and schools that I love, you know, playing number one together, but also playing in a wood bat league. Well, in 2005, we got a team here in Denton, I had season tickets, and I think I used all but two or three of the tickets. and I would notice though that, you know, I would go there and not counting the parents and the host family, you know, parents, there was, you know, maybe 40 extra fans.
I know the feeling. I went to the Big Ten tournament, a couple weeks ago and I was, aside from the Illini parents, I was probably the only other Illini fan that was there rooting for the Illinois fans. But anyway, go on.
Oh, so you know what I'm talking about. But
right.
it was a little discouraging because, I mean, when you get down to the basics, this is also a business. And if a business is not making money, they're not going to be around.
Right.
And so I was a little worried. And I thought, you know, how can I help spread the word?
Right.
And I by no means was, you know, affiliated with any league. I did not, you know, advertise. But I thought, I mean, because there are a lot of baseball fans in Texas, and, you know, nationally. And, you know, I think this is, I think it's one of the most pure forms of baseball, because I can't, you know, I have a problem with, you know, paying $100 for a ticket, or, you know, $6 for a soda. And this is just, it plus, you know, it's fun. It's family fun.
It really
it's,
is.
It's good baseball too.
It is. So,
Yeah, exactly. And you're seeing, you know, maybe not the best players in the country, but based on your league where you're at, you're seeing excellent players. So it's, you know, that's a change from maybe the normal, college baseball experience. But, I moved it over, and I thought this year I could, start, you know, blogging, as I guess is the term is used. I'm somewhat computer illiterate, but I thought I could, you know, start talking about summer baseball. I originally thought, well, I could just focus on the Texas Collegiate League. But then I thought, you know, there's more leagues out there than just Texas Collegiate League. Little did I know what I would be getting into. And sometimes to me, it's a daunting task trying to update. I've had to make some, I guess you would say, personnel decisions, saying I obviously can't cover everything. So I leave the Cape Cod League and Alaskan League somewhat out, because there's already several excellent blogs, and those are the two premier leagues.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like they have enough coverage. And then there's the Valley League, which is the Virginia area, and they have John writes all things from the All Things Valley League, and he writes an excellent blog, and he goes to almost every game. So I don't really cover that, but I figured every other league I could at least touch up on something, you know, a prospect to watch for, or, you know, who's hot. And so the blog has grown from that. I would say one of my main things I really enjoy about the blog is profiling or spotlighting, highlighting, whatever you call it, players from the small schools. Because to me I have a soft spot in my heart for players who are, the second baseman who's like, you know, the David Eckstein type of, players who aren't playing baseball at, you know, at Oregon State or Rice or something like that. And they were just trying to make it there. So, I don't think I'd give them special treatment, but I kind of do in terms of the Division III players, the small players. And believe it or not, the responses from, I'm always open for emails, and I love to have, you know, either coaches, players, general managers, just general fans email me and just give me a shout out saying you might want to look at this player or that player. And on a daily basis, I probably average about one or two emails from parents or coach or general manager of one of the summer league teams, just saying, hey, you know, this guy pitched a no hitter today. Or this guy, you know, can you please, you know, spotlight my son, just, you know, or whatnot. So.
Those are the best, aren't they?
I love that. Exactly. That makes, I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm in over my head when I wake up in the morning and I'm trying to get box scores and see who's hot. But, you know, the email from, you know, so-and-so's parent, you know, from, you know, North Carolina or whatever is nice to someone to leave talking about their child.
But anyway, one last question is do you have a team that you personally follow and you root for and you hope to win?
Well, I follow the Texas Collegiate League in general because I live in the North Texas area. I would say the Denton Outlaws are my favorite team. They've won the Texas Collegiate League title 2 years ago, and then in their first season, and last year they were second place. They're not having a stellar year so far, where been hurt by injuries and whatnot. But I would say overall I follow the Outlaws, but just in general, I'm just a baseball fan. And originally I'm from Michigan, so I also will kind of look for either Wolverines or players that play in the Big Ten as well. And one of the reasons I love it when the Texas Collegiate League is able to attract a couple players from outside Texas. We have a Michigan State Spartan who I know is probably not popular in Illinois country, but John Kibler, a pitcher from Michigan State.
Oh, yeah.
he won Pitcher of the Week award last week in the Texas Collegiate League. So it's nice to see some players from up north coming down here to play.
Yeah. Well, I know that the South, and particularly in Texas, that college baseball in general is very hot, and it's much a much different environment than it is up here in Illinois and in the Midwest. It's a pretty much a different atmosphere, but so I can see how it could be almost like a different sport almost, college baseball is. I think it's excellent website. I think you do a fantastic job, and I'm really happy that you're able to get on the show and talk about the college summer leagues, and I really want to thank you for coming on. Any last things you want to say before we say goodbye?
Oh no, not really. I appreciate you for having me. For your if your listeners want to
let's give that web address one more time before we cut you off here.
It's gonna be one word. It's collegesummerball.blogspot.com.
And we'll link you on the website so people can check you out. And we already have your linked on the Baseball Zealot, but we'll link you on the post. So go ahead and click away and check out the website. And I think it's a fantastic one. So once again, thanks a lot, Andrew. Andrew Hartwell from Summer Ball. It's a fantastic website on college summer leagues. Andrew, once again, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you very much. I enjoyed my time here.
All right.
You
bye-bye.
Too.
That's it for today's show. I want to thank Andrew Hartwell from Summer Ball for being on the show today. Once again, I want to give out that address for Andrew's website. His web address is collegesummerball.blogspot.com. If you want to check out our web address is www.baseballzealotradio.com. You can send us an email. Our email address is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. Again, you can give us a call and leave us a voicemail. Our voicemail phone number is 217-883-4571. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We hope to have another one next week. We will be talking to you later. Bye-bye.